Welcome back to the Daily Drum on WHUR, Sirius XM Channel 141, 96.3 HD2, and 98.3 FM. This is the Insight segment. I'm Harold Fisher.
This is a day we've worked toward for a long time. We never stopped pushing for her release. It took painstaking and intense negotiations.
WNBA star Brittney Griner could be back in the United States in less than 12 hours. She is scheduled to land in San Antonio, Texas. She's been in Russian custody for 10 months after she was arrested at a Moscow airport for having a small amount of medically prescribed cannabis oil. The last several weeks were spent in a Russian penal colony. Griner was released as part of a prisoner swap for Victor Boot, a notorious Russian arms dealer. Retired Marine and businessman Paul Whelan was not part of that deal. National Security spokesperson John Kirby said the deal to bring back Griner was the only available option at the time. We have a lot to talk about tonight. My guests are April Ryan, White House correspondent and Washington bureau chief for the Griot, Ebony McMorris, White House correspondent for the American Urban Radio Network, and Howard University political science professor Dr. Marcus Board. If you have comments, if you have questions about the release of Brittney Griner, give us a call. Lines are open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. I invite you to tweet me at HFisherWHUR or find me on Instagram at Harold T. Fisher. Thank you all for joining the conversation. April, let me first jump to you. What is the latest? It's my understanding that we're already hearing some partisan pushback over the release of Brittney Griner.
Yeah, that is true. I talked to former Mayor Keisha Lance Bottoms, who happens to be senior advisor to President Biden, as well as the director of the Office of Public Engagement. She is very concerned with what she's hearing. She says she's very disappointed. I talked to her within the last 2 hours. She says she's very disappointed in hearing some of this. She said President Biden did what a lot of people couldn't do. He brought her home. I'm talking about Brittney Griner. And at the end of the day, they're still working hard for Paul Whelan. They have not given up. And they're going to continue to work for him. And not only, she said, not only is it just Brittney Griner and Paul Whelan, but they have dealt with other issues with other people, and they brought them home. But right now, there is jubilation, but also still concern. There's jubilation for Brittney Griner, but concern that Paul Whelan is still there. And that's a lot of the concern, the partisan politics you're hearing, partisan politics over the fact that Brittney Griner was exchanged for this Soviet military person who conspired to kill Americans. He worked with terrorist organizations. Just a bad guy, just very, very bad guy. And exchange for her was this guy, and she only had medically prescribed medicine, CBD oil, to help with pain. There are so many different things that so many different people are saying who are criticizing, particularly Republicans. But at the end of the day, the president did something that was very rare but important. He brought Brittney Griner home, still working on Paul Whelan. American governments do not necessarily bargain with terrorists or people who hold Americans hostage, but they said in these cases like this, it's important to bring them home. And it's hard to do that with a country like Russia, but they did it. It's a victory, but another victory is being sought for Paul Whelan.
Yeah. From your perspective, April, what do you think the future for Brittney Griner will be? I mean, she's been gone for 10 months. This was not a vacation. We are talking about Russia. Russia is in a war with Ukraine. It is, you know, in an
not just in a war with Ukraine. Putin is talking about using nuclear weapons, okay?
And this is an authoritarian, help me with it, authoritarian regime. Thank you so much, Dr. Boyd.
But here's the thing you have to remember. Russia, the relationship with the United States and Russia is not on good footing. So for this to happen, especially when those hearings that Brittany Griner was involved in, and those hearings where she pleaded guilty and they found her guilty, you know, so many people lost hope. And she did that, according to those who are working with her lawyers, were saying that she did that hoping to get leniency.
Yeah.
And everybody thought, and I'll never forget, I talked to her wife, Sherelle Griner, the day before that hearing where she pleaded guilty. Sherelle Griner didn't want to watch it because she knew what was going to happen because they felt this was a strategy to get her out. Instead, it got worse for a moment. But you have to remember, Russia is a country that we are really watching in this moment. And this is one of the reasons why it was so hard. But at the same time, we're watching them in this Ukrainian war on Ukraine that's impacting the world. But we're seeing a lot of weakness in Russia as well. For Russia to be going 10 months in this war and not winning the way the world thought they were. They're not the superpower that we thought they were. And it's still all these months going. Russia is trying to find its strength, trying to show strength in the midst of looking weak. And in their way, the only way that they would do this is to put this conspirator, this man who wanted to kill Americans, up against Brittany Griner. That was all they wanted. They didn't want to put Paul Whelan in it. They said the only way you can get Brittany Griner home is if you get Victor Bout out. We trade for him. And so what's next for Brittany Griner? She is going to land and seek medical attention. She's been gone for 10 months in a whole other country. And she's going to get the medical attention that she needs and deserves. And then after that, the White House says they're not making an ask right now. This is from Keisha Lance Bottoms just within the last 2 hours. The White House is not going to make an ask right now for her to come to the White House. The president wants to see her, but they first want her to be with her family and get the needed attention, medical attention, and support that she needs first. And then they'll make the ask for her to come. But there's a lot. There's going to be a lot for Brittany Griner. America is happy that she's home.
Yeah.
You know, she is now, I mean, she was a superstar anyway. She's going to be iconic with this because she can tell us a lot. She's going to take the veil off of what happened in Russia to a certain extent, in Russian captivity. She is going to be the symbol of American freedom for a very long time.
Can you stay with us just for a few more minutes, or at least to the bottom of the hour, April? I wanted
anything
to
for you, Harold.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. Dr. Boyd, to April's point, when we're talking about the kind of negotiation that was required to bring Brittany Griner home, and this Paul Whelan situation is really, really difficult. He said today in an interview that he's been there for 4 years.
Right.
He did not plead guilty. He said he was convicted of a crime that he did not commit, and he's just wondering, you know, what the heck is going on?
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to compare the two situations, frankly. The Paul Whelan situation there's a bigger conversation about the United States and Russia, war game, strategy, government, politics, that extends beyond the very deliberate, very targeted arrest and incarceration of Brittany Griner. I think her situation is a part of a larger kind of Russian propaganda plan that they've done in the past. We saw in 2016 with the misinformation campaign, with their stoking the Movement for Black Lives, and engaging in confrontational tactics that they are exceptionally good at. And this is just a big part of that. Knowing that Brittany Griner is a black woman, is a black lesbian woman, is a star athlete in the most outspoken and radically progressive professional sports league in the United States. It's a very targeted attack. It's a very targeted choice. It's one of the ones where, in my mind, the goal is to continue to affect U.S. elections in that regard. Mm. The Paul Whelan situation, however, does not have the same impact. It's not the Cold War. It's not the 90s, in spite of the fact that these two superpowers still continue to fight with our lives. So it's one of the challenges that we have, is that while we are happy and proud and thankful that Brittany Griner's home, the way that government and politics work in the United States is not one that that very often goes to protect the unsung heroes.
As we're talking about, a black woman, Ebony, what impact do you believe that this situation will have on her going forward? As Dr. Board said, a black woman, black lesbian woman, superstar. Should we expect to hear from her sooner than later?
Well, that's a very good question, because I think even when we look at sports in general, I think this moment for Griner, after she goes through all her physical and mental evaluations that she has to
and recovery
she has to go through, right? Which means right now, give her space to digest and understand what she just went through. But I honestly believe that this will be a huge turning point, even in her life as an athlete, because I think she said, her wife Sherelle even said that she's going to continue to fight. She said that when she was in the Roosevelt Room with the president this morning, that she's going to continue to fight for Paul Whelan and also for others who are hostages or who have been wrongfully detained. And for the U.S., that's about 60 people right now in about 18 different countries. But I think it's going to give her a different perspective going forth. We may even see her, even as she, whether she, how far she continues in sports, take a turn and start being even more political. I'm not going to say to the extent of a Kaepernick, but we've seen this. We saw this in life even of a Muhammad Ali. When you come through and experience moments in your life that puts you in a totally different category. And so I think she is going to be one that we see even greater sounding alarm when it comes to LGBTQ community in other countries. I think this has given her an international platform. I don't want to move too fast, though, because she's a victim and she is just getting back. She's just trying to putting together the pieces of what's going on. So we are all, I know, waiting on bended knee to hear what she will have to say. There are people even in her community we can already see that are lined up, that are ready.
And the WNBA.
The WNBA, we're seeing all that. And of course, right, when you feel like someone has come home and she'll be called a hero and so many other things. But I think it'll be interesting to see what type of a person that we see blossom, I will say, out of this as she gets her own healing.
Yeah. April, real quick, but before the break, I did want to ask you, I think that it is ironic that Brittany Griner, like so many other black athletes, have been in the past, outspoken about racism in America, Black Lives Matter, and the like. And it is that same country that was able to facilitate her release from Russia. I've got about a minute. Your thoughts about that?
I'm not going to be presumptive as to what Brittany Griner is going to do, but I can tell you what I've gleaned from her wife that I talked to. Her wife said Brittany is very compassionate about others. When she was imprisoned in Russia, she kept talking about, the other people and telling her wife to go back and get your law degree. Don't worry about me. I do believe she will, in this moment, coalesce with family, come together with family, get the healing. And then what's next remains to be seen. She is on an international stage right now. And let's wait and see. I got a feeling it's going to be great, but let's just wait and see how this all blossoms and unfolds. And Harold, I'm going to stay with you a little while longer.
Okay.
I've been up since 5 o'clock with this, but I'm going to stay with my college classmates.
Well, thank you. Thank you so much. I really appreciate that. We are going to take a break, but don't forget, you can hear every edition of the Daily Drum Insight segment via podcast on WHUR.com, or you can download the 96.3 HD2 app on your smartphone and hear the program live in its entirety. Stay with us. If you're on the phone, that includes Abney calling from Charles County. We're going to talk to you next. Do not hang up. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We're talking about the Brittany Griner saga. I'm Harold Fisher. John Mons is next with the original Quiet Storm on WHUR. We'll be back in just a few seconds. Welcome back to the Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. We are talking about the release of WNBA star Brittany Griner from a Russian prison. We continue this conversation with April Ryan, White House correspondent and Washington bureau chief for the Griot. Also, Ebony McMorris, White House correspondent for the American Urban Radio Network and Howard University political science professor, Dr. Marcus Board. Lines are open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Let's go to Abney, calling from Charles County. Abney, thanks for hanging on. What's on your mind?
Well, I'm kind of confused. We're putting her up as, like you said, a hero because she was over there to help. But, you know, she broke a law. And, you know, she played ball over there. She knew what she couldn't and what she couldn't do. And we have a guy over there been in for 4 years, haven't done anything. And we're kind of making, glorify her because of something that she knew that she wasn't supposed to have. And I'm kind of confused because she knew the laws over there. She played ball over there and she got caught doing something she wasn't supposed to be doing in another country. This is, well, if she was over here and we're glorifying her like she did something. If she would have got away with it, would we be having this conversation right now? No, we wouldn't. This guy would be still over there after 4 years and still sitting there. But we're focused on her breaking the law in another country and pretty much getting all this attention.
Well, Abney, let me see what Dr. Board has to say about that, because I don't believe that you are necessarily alone in your observation. This is something that has been talked about since her arrest. Dr. Board?
Yeah, it's actually a very common perspective. And this is something I write about in my research, which is how people are convinced not to advocate for themselves. So one of the ways that Black people in particular are taught not to advocate for themselves is to be told you're wrong in the first place. You should have never been there in the first place. You shouldn't be behaving that way anyway. Right. And so in this situation, this is the way that, again, back to the kind of Russian propaganda machine, that which they are very good at. This is one of the ways that they're going to influence this conversation, is to get people to say, well, law and order, she shouldn't have been there anyway. You do the crime, you do the time. We've seen it before. We'll see it again. And we hope that one of the lasting impacts of the Movement for Black Lives is trying to sway people away from that block of saying, hey, we understand that you do need laws, you do need rules, but like in Russia, as in the United States, they're not evenly applied. The prison system is not fair. It's not just. The habitat, the environment in prisons and jails is disgusting, is inhumane. And so these conversations extend well beyond whether or not somebody did something wrong or not, or how wrong or right it is. The reality is that she's a political pawn and she was being used for political gain. And
that's
so
true.
And so her coming back is a win. And
for who?
So I think it's a win for her, obviously, her and her family, first and foremost, her and Sherelle, her wife, her kids, but also for the WNBA. I think that's very important for them as a league that is, again, at the forefront of a lot of progressive movement. I think it's a win for people.
Hold on, Abney. Go right ahead.
I think it's a win for people who are committed to justice. So justice isn't just the idea of making the systems that we have better. In a lot of ways, justice is a conversation about changing the process to begin with. So I think one of the things we see in the Brittany Griner situation, and I think which does actually speak a little bit to Abney's point, is that there are ways to circumvent these systems. There are ways to get around these systems. And when somebody has a platform or celebrity or fame at a certain level, very often we will see that process play out. Now, does it happen for others? Absolutely. But we very often see it in these cases, and we want to expand that. We want to create more exceptions for these rules that don't only go against Black people, against Black women, against Black queer people and Black lesbian women like Brittany Griner.
Ebony, one of the things that, Abney said, he said, well, you know, she shouldn't have been there. Well, we know that one of the reasons why she was in Russia was because she was playing basketball there. And I think that speaks to the disparity between WNBA salaries and NBA salaries. We know we're not going to see LeBron James play in Russia, okay? But the Brittany Griners and some of the other, even the highest paid NBA, WNBA stars, they still go overseas to make money because WNBA is not making NBA money. And I think this kind of thing calls attention, as Dr. Borat said, to an issue that is here at home.
Right. So this wonderful point. That's a great point because while we were talking about what this represents politically, we also have to address why was she even, like you said, why was she even over there? What was she able to make there that she couldn't make here? How do we depreciate women in sports? It opens up that conversation, too. I mean, we've been having that conversation for a while, and I think this just furthermore brings it to the forefront. You already see that kind of debated right now when it comes to media. Some people, even when the situation happened, they were like, why is she over there? There was this whole blame game that was going on. What was she doing over there anyway? And not really understanding the circumstances behind that. So it'll be interesting to see how that conversation is furthered even more.
Your thoughts about that, too, April, because it's not just Russia. We know that members of, some of the those who are hoping to play in the NBA, we know they play in Italy, they play in Croatia, they play in Spain. They are not quite up to the dynamic NBA standards. They, you know, it's on their wish list, and so they go over there. So Brittany Griner and many other women in the WNBA also play in Europe. Do you believe that this could be, you know, one of those statements, just like the women's soccer team, where they, you know, after protest and standing up for themselves, finally got more money?
So, Harold, here's the deal. What we don't realize a lot of times, we see them playing during the on season here,
mm-hmm.
but in the off season, they still have to work to sustain what they have. This was her job. This was her job. It just happened to be in another country. She got a contract to play in another country. And this was, and let's not listen to Donald Trump and all those others saying that she came in with a boatload of drugs. No, these were capsules, medically prescribed capsules for pain. Okay, CBD oil. So let's correct that and speak to that. But she was working. Now, Russian laws, sometimes we don't know other laws. You know, when we go into other countries, the State Department tells us to meet up with your embassy and know the rules and the laws before you go into a country.
Or say don't go.
Right. And that's what happened. She got caught up with that. And then behind that, Putin, let's go here. The White House did not want to make it a big deal. But the nation called out. The Brittany Griner hostage or unlawful detaining was one of the largest issues at the White House that they tried to keep a lid on because they did not want Putin to look at her as this big superstar to in turn use her as a pawn, which he ultimately did.
Yeah.
This was one of the biggest stories that came to the White House. And for this president to do it, a president who has low approval ratings for the black community, for the LGBTQ+ community, for the NBA, the WNBA, who has been on them and told their players not to go and play for Russia anymore. This is a win for this president. And it will translate into the next 2 years because people will remember that.
Yeah.
It will translate. And also, but we have to also look at the person. I asked John Kirby, we talked earlier today. I asked him, I said, there is not an equal playing field with this trade. You know, you've got a pure straight-up criminal, a killer, versus a woman who mistakenly took some medical vials of CBD oil to help with pain to go to work. But that's the only way Putin would do this deal. It was her or nothing. And I asked Kirby, I said, look, I said, John, I said, is allowed to come back into the country? Does this deal allow him to come back, or can he never come back? He could not divulge the deal details, but what he did say, national security is always first and foremost. And trust and believe, even though Boot is over there, national security is first and foremost.
Yeah. Abney, thank you so much for your phone call. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. I think the other big concern, as I mentioned earlier, is what is going to happen to Paul Whelan? Because as Dr. Board said, this is not apples and oranges. This isn't even fruit and vegetables. Mm-hmm. You know, this is cars and grass, no pun intended. But, you know, he makes a point that, you know, I've been here for 4 years. I'm not a spy. You know, that's what he said. And so let's take that at face value. Assuming that is the case, what chips does the United States have to play now, and if any?
Trust and believe, there are a lot of chips to play, but the problem is one of the things we will not know what's happening behind the scenes. I mean, look, they got former ambassador Bill Richardson to help with this. You know, others help with this. Now, you know, they're going in, you know, into their toolkit to find out who and what they can do to leverage. Trust me, they understand keenly that this is one person. They got Brittany Griner, but there is Paul Whelan that's still there. And he's made it clear that he wants to come home. He's talked about his 14-and-a-half-year-old dog that he wants to see. He says it's not fair. He should be out, too. Trust me, the world hears, and the White House definitely hears, and they are working.
But let me say, you know, Ebony, this isn't like negotiating with Israel or France, one of our allies, even someplace like, I don't know, even China. I mean, we are... You know, we're talking about, you know, Vladimir Putin. He runs Russia with, you know, an iron fist. So, you know, what are the risks of continuing to have these conversations, you know, all the while the United States is still, shoring up Ukraine in the midst of this war?
One of the big questions that you're hearing in media and that was also posed in the White House briefing today one statement was, for Russia, Victor Bout was a big catch for them to get back, right? So while we talk about how we celebrated Brittany coming back home, but there's also a celebration going on right now in Russia, right? And so the question was, what is the cost? Over and over we heard, is this setting a precedence? What is this signaling to other countries? Are we going to see more swaps coming? What will this effect be? There have been lots of studies before, because anytime we see swaps, we always see this question come up. But what does that say to those in other countries? And I went just to see one of the questions that was asked that the White House didn't directly answer was, is there a big fish that we have that could swap when it comes to Paul Whelan? And, of course, the White House is not going to comment on any negotiations that are happening right now. But right now there are about, I believe, five different Russian prisoners that the U.S. has. And even going over those lists, one was a member of Russia's lower house in parliament. He's one. Another one was two actually were involved in Russian government. Another one that was brought up was Mark Fogel. Mark Fogel, who's being held by Russia. While we're talking about you know, Paul Whelan, he also was arrested, but he was arrested for having marijuana. Mm. He's been there suffering from injuries that he's had here. One of the questions was, well, why Brittany and not Fogel? What does this mean? So these are some of the questions that the administration is going to be faced with. And then people are going to be looking at the five big fish that we the five prisoners that we do have, and will that be any type of leverage?
But Harold, let me say something real quick. You know, we already mentioned why it was Brittany over Whelan, because Putin made this clear. This is the only way it's going to happen. Period. End of story. But we also have to remember, it's not just about human commodity. You know, it's not about one human for another human. Putin could go to some other extreme to do something else or ask for something else. It doesn't necessarily have to be people, okay? It could be, I don't want to get into what it could be, but it could be anything from oil. It could be anything to money. It could be anything to people. It could be anything to arms. So let's not just say it's one thing over the other. We don't understand the mindset of Putin, who is waging war on a country because he wants to take it. Now talking about nuclear weapons, it could be anything that he could say, I will exchange Paul Whelan for. So we can't just automatically assume it's going to be people, okay? It could be a bunch of people for one person. It could be anything. We cannot assume in these high-level situations what is on the table when you're dealing with irrational people from another country who's talking about nuclear weapons, okay? Let's be real clear about that.
But let me ask Dr. Board about this, because when you talk about what else it could be, mm-hmm. okay, the White House is celebrating today Brittany Griner's home. Mm-hmm. But when it comes to, you know, Paul Whelan or anyone else, is it possible that there could be a political trap being laid by Vladimir Putin that that could lead to some kind of trade scandal? Could we again be looking, I'm telling my age now, I should say I'm telling our age, April, could this be,
yes.
you know, one
yes.
of those, you know, Iran-Contra, arms for hostage yes. kinds of mm-hmm. of scandals? And Ebony looked at me and she was like, whoa, that was in the Wayback Machine, right?
But, no, I didn't look at you like that.
That's a deep cut.
No,
that's a little bit of a
deep cut. Yeah, that was way back.
I respect you.
Of
yeah, there you go. Go ahead, Dr. Board.
So I think, you know, one of the big challenges of this situation, and I want to make sure that we keep at the forefront that we are happy that Brittany Griner is home.
Yeah.
That's the priority.
Mm-hmm.
That's the most important part of all of this. I think that one of the things that this situation does is it kind of sucks us into this imperial politics game.
Mm-hmm.
And imperial politics is a losing game mm-hmm. for everyday people. So I take April's point very well that Putin is unstable. He's we don't know what he's going to do. He literally invaded a country just because it was a day that ended in Y. Right. And at the same time, we also recognize that the United States is also a global empire and superpower.
Mm-hmm.
And these are the types of games that they play with our lives. So to April's point, we are not commodities. We are people. We have value. But when you are operating at the level of an empire and in a state, you are dealing with bodies mm-hmm. as commodities, mm-hmm. as a level, you know, as she said, you might trade a number of people for one person or another. But it's about access. It's about power. It's about resources, about shows of strength on the international scale. Right. So, like, I want to make sure that we at least acknowledge the fact that the United States is also playing these imperial games.
Absolutely.
And it doesn't do any of the people on this call and in this studio any service to do that. We actually lose not only by them playing those games, but also by not recognizing how important it is and how much it affects our lives on an everyday basis.
Harold, as I was saying, you know, Putin in some sectors of this world, there are countries that don't want to deal with Putin. And Putin may even try to barter, trying to get back into some organizations or to carry favor. There are so many different things that are on the table. We cannot just assume it's one for one.
Yeah.
We can't go there. Putin, I can't even think about how he thinks. But what we do know, he's duplicitous in his behavior and how he bargains. And just showing why Whelan is upset. It was one for one, a criminal, a killer for a woman who just walked in to an airport with medicine.
Yeah.
Okay? It doesn't equate.
Or you know, and like, you know, Dr. Board said, for, you know, the purposes of this, you know, this conversation, particularly for black people, you're not going to have any conversations about the G20 or the G7, but you will, but that is one of the other things that
exactly
that Putin may very well want, a recognition of being part of those bodies, you know, United States, Japan, Great Britain, so forth and on, when he was, you know, expelled. And, you know, and we really want to talk about, you know, global politics, and I don't go too far down that rabbit hole. But, you know, just like when we talked about North Korea, when Donald Trump was in office, the thing that North Korea wanted was recognition, which is why those those ICBMs or those rockets are being fired from North Korea and into the Pacific Ocean. Mm-hmm. And so,
hey, wait a minute, isn't Putin the one who stole the ring off of the Super Bowl ring off of someone's finger?
Now that I don't remember. Oh,
no, remember.
I mean, it may be.
He did. He took a ring, a Super Bowl ring. I forgot which player or owner. Look it up. Google it. I'm gonna Google. I don't have my computer. I'm on my phone. Literally, I will Google it. But he was the one.
Robert Kraft from the owners, Patriots owner Robert Kraft.
There you go. See, there
you
go.
Look at that.
And he never got it back.
Yeah, yeah.
And it became such a big deal. That it went to the White House. So this, I mean, he takes what he wants and does what he wants. I mean, that's a very small example,
yeah.
A very simple example, a very costly example for Taft. But at the end of the day, this man is duplicitous, and we just don't know how he thinks or where he's going.
Mm. To the point about the future for Brittany Griner, you know, prior to this, you know, she was a big deal in the WNBA. Certainly, this is a really unfortunate way for your star to rise.
Yeah,
and you know, and coming back, we don't know. And April, you said yourself, you're not going to speculate, But certainly this puts her in a really, really unique position as a household name, as a name going forward. And so, Ebony, I'll ask you, what could be her ask going forward? You know, when she stands, when she finally, you know, stands up and speaks out. You know, April, you spoke about her being a compassionate person. This could really be, you know, a watershed moment for her. Ebony, your thoughts about Griner going forward?
I mean, the first thing I think, and definitely, who knows? I mean, I'll just even reiterate what WNBA commissioner said, that the priority right now is Griner's emotional, physical, and mental well-being, and the league has not, right now it's about her being becoming reacclimated, but it's even unclear if and when she will play basketball at all.
Mm-hmm.
So we don't even know that. I'm just interested in her story.
Yeah.
After understanding her well-being, her story, later then we can see what comes down the road, whatever messages she will to talk about, like why I was even over there, the politics of this game, why I was even in Russia and telling the stories of so many other women. But this has been my experience. And I think having her shape her own narrative, like while we're sitting here speculating, but I think people are just waiting to hear when she is ready, her story. And we won't know what she has blossomed into after that. But we do know she does have that international platform that people will be waiting to hear from her, from government officials to those who are sitting around their kitchen table. I also think that it will also be a moment much later But what young people can glean from this, you know, when we are able to hear her story, because don't forget, one of the concerns for her being in that penal colony was because she was Black and LGBT. Right. Member of the LGBTQ community, mm-hmm. right? And so there was a huge fear. We saw a lot of organizations coming out and talk about the fear that they had just because of that, because of what we know happens in Russia with those who are. I think there was an order that Putin had just put out about those who are even public with their coming out public with being gay or lesbian. And so that was a major concern for her. And I think that will also speak volumes to that community and those who support that organization. So there's kind of no end because it touches so many things. So many things from the Black experience to sexuality, to politics, to economics, to equal pay,
scores,
you know, to everything. And so it is what people want to kind of glean from this on themselves and mental health.
Hello.
Let's talk about 294 days. It's a lot. It's heavy.
And it's something that Angela Davis still talks about to this day. It's the time that she spent on death row. Mm-hmm. It's how it has had a lasting effect on her life, how she recognizes humanity and people. She talked about it in her her autobiography that she wrote maybe 3 or 4 years after she got out, in I think 76, where she's just saying, she's talking about the treatment of the guards and how they were able to relate to her as Black woman and how she was able to find humanity in them and in the people who were in prison. So while I would never venture to put anyone on a platform to have some type of political advocacy, I do think Brittany Griner will be able to speak very, very astutely to the state of prisons and people's treatment in them. A million steps down the road, the absolute last thing, but one thing I do want to hear from her is about her college basketball coach who had literally nothing to say about the situation.
Yeah.
And again, a million things ahead of that, but I would love to April's point about the government, we don't know what's going on behind the scenes. I don't know. Maybe she's not what she appears to be, but Brittany can tell us.
Even asking, not even a note. The question you ask, Harold, is what we want from Brittany. But I think we also have to figure out what is it that we want, what conversations we want to have with at our own kitchen tables. What she wants from us, what we can offer her, and what conversations are you having with your children while they're watching this?
Yeah.
What are you talking about? What are they learning from this? And while we wait to see what she says, what is it that we're saying in our own homes?
April, I'll let you have a last word. I've got about a minute for you or so.
As a journalist, as someone who's the longest serving Black female journalist at the White House, I've never seen this moment. A Black woman wrongfully detained, a Black woman who's in the LGBTQ plus community, sports figure detained. Her story is a story that touches so many communities, and I look forward to the day that I can report on this from the White House and question her myself, because everything and everyone has a story, and her story, people are waiting to hear. And that's it. That's just, she is in an iconic status now because she went through the unthinkable.
Yeah.
Something that other people never did, and she is here to tell the tale. And the world was watching.
I think that I'll let that be the very last word on Brittany Griner for this conversation. But we are going to continue to watch this situation, and we'll continue to watch the politics, the social ramifications, and how this is really forcing America to look at many different aspects, LGBTQ, Black athletes, the WNBA, the list just goes on and on. Ebony McMorris, thank you so much. April Ryan, good to talk to you again. And Dr. Marcus Board, thank you so much for sharing this conversation with us. That is the Daily Drum for this Thursday, December 8th. I'm Harold Fisher. Good night.